Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My guest is Dr. Tal Mimran. He's the Associate Professor at Tzfat Academic College, the Academic Coordinator at the International Law Forum of Hebrew University. We wanted to explore today the topic that touches deep national sensitivities, and that is the issue of Haredi draft exemptions, the broader implications of recent political shifts, including leadership changes in Knesset, as particularly as well as it relates to a post October 7th, Israel. Dr. Tal Mimran, good morning. I'm hoping that you are well. Could you briefly explain where things currently stand legally with regard to the Haredi draft exemption issue?
Good morning, Howard. Indeed, as you mentioned, the draft bill or the issue of drafting Hasidic Jews is one of the long-standing and most painful issues that caused tension within our society in Israel since the establishment of the state. And I think that this problem continues to come back and haunt us, because similarly to the challenge of creating a constitution for the state, which is another challenge that we didn't live up to, the choice of the governments is usually to try and create a small term a solution, a band-aid, rather than finding a real long-lasting solution. The problem with creating a long-lasting solution derives from the fact that the Hasidic Jews, at the end of the day in Israel, compose almost 2 million of a 10 million population. It is a significant group which is ever growing.
Sure.
And their political force is growing accordingly. And as such, they have the ability to maneuver this challenge and to make sure that the solutions that are being brought up are usually indeed either long or medium term in length. At the same time, and again, as you mentioned, since October 7, many things changed in Israel. Many things change in the way that we perceive our enemies. Many things change in the way that we balance between human rights and security needs. And indeed, another issue that changed is our treatment, or the way that we look at the issue of drafting and sharing the burden of defending the state. And it seems that indeed we are facing some winds of change, but at the same time, I have to admit, I'm a bit pessimistic. I am used to seeing winds of change. I am used to seeing politicians promise something that is waiting beyond the horizon. But at the end of the day, we are usually finding ourselves in the same situations. And indeed, we are currently in the same situation, which is that the government is hanging on a balance. And the thing that tilts between continuing the government or abolishing it is once again the draft bill. So as we learned from the Bible from time immemorial, the world keeps returning and the sun keeps setting every day anew. And it seems that the draft bill in Israel and the need to deal with it every year anew is something that is as permanent as the sun in Israel.
When I visited Israel for the first time following October 7th, and I went to a number of, I was privileged to be able to go to a number of bases, I did notice that there was, in my, just and anecdotally, I thought there was a increased number of Haredi guys involved, committed to the army. Is there a societal shift that might in fact bring the change faster than a legal one?
Definitely. I think that society is changing in the sense that Hasidic Jews are feeling more and more belonging. They are feeling an integral part of the right-wing camp in Israel. They have found a political home, and they are finding their identity within this diverse group of people which call themselves the political right. And within it, you have conservative people, You have people which came from immigrants from Russia, Ethiopia, and other places. You really have all types, colors, and of society in Israel. But the Hasidic Jews finally found a group to blend into in this regard. And we are definitely seeing a change, and we are seeing some beautiful enterprises like the Hashmonaim Brigade, which is a new brigade that is composed only from Hasidic Jews. But this brigade is showing us the way ahead, but it is also indicating of one of the main challenges, which was not the fault of the community itself, and this was the need of the army to adapt, to find a way to be inclusive towards Hasidic Jews in a way that will allow them to continue their way of life. We have seen this with other traditional communities and people which come from a religious background to the army, and they're losing their faith on the way. And this is something that concerns communities and families.
Sure. And it's not an unreasonable concern
from
that perspective. Is there religious women in Israel have the option of doing some form of community or civil service? Has this idea ever been thought of or discussed within the Hasidic or Haredi community in terms of the men?
So I think that it is happening both under the official stewardship of this project of national service, and it is also happening for civil society. For example, people who don't officially volunteer for service, but they do volunteer, for example, in Zaka, helping victims, or in MADA, in the Magen David Adom, the National Emergency Medical Aid in Israel agency. So we are seeing this going on the official level and also on the non-official level. Israel is moving towards a better future. The groups in Israel are learning to live together in a better fashion. And I think that we are indeed in dire times in this regard. Different groups are trying to promote their interests. We are trying to draw again the lines and the balance that will allow everyone to flourish together. But in this regard, I am optimistic. When I look at society, when I look at people, I am optimistic because I know that at the end of the day, we are one, and we were all reminded on October 7 that even if not in our eyes, then in the eyes of the other, we are one. And we need to make sure that we will work together, so we will flourish together, because we will either depend on one another, or we'll find ourselves hang next to one another, as they used to say in ancient Rome.
Absolutely, Dr. Mimran, thank you for helping navigate such a sensitive, important issue with clarity, thoughtfulness. It's a conversation that doesn't offer easy answers, but it's one that we need to keep having respectfully, honestly, and with an eye towards unity. Thank you for your time. It's 7:31.